Well, this is an interesting passage to come back to preaching on. Sometimes I think when we say praise to you, O Christ, we should add a question mark at the end of it. But we'll see what we can figure out today. So I have this group of friends, and if I'm being honest, they're not very good friends. I see them all the time, but they make me feel kind of bad about myself, and sometimes they set me up for failure. It's not the cats, in case you were wondering. And it's not all of you either. It is my Instagram friends. Now, I follow a group of people, and Instagram has fed me more and more of them, of these mom influencers, of pediatricians, sleep specialists, people who know a lot about babies. And as most of you know, I'm now a mom. Yeah, thank you, yep. Thanks, it was hard work getting her here. And to me, my baby is so precious. She's this little angel. I've never loved anyone more. But she's not perfect. She cries, she doesn't sleep well some nights, she's fussy in the evening, and this girl has so much gas, I don't know where it comes from. So when I was first pregnant, I did start following a lot of mom influencers who talked about all these tips and tricks. They gave me these lofty ideas for what motherhood would be like. If I just programmed my baby correctly, she'd sleep. If I knew exactly how to do it, breastfeeding would be easy. I could avoid and anticipate every inconvenience that would ever come our way. Yeah, no. Those lofty goals didn't really set me up for success. Indeed, it kind of set me up for failure. It backfired a lot. And it made me feel not great about myself. So when I read this passage today, I see Jesus setting up these unattainable standards to hate father and mother, to take up your cross, to give away all your possessions. Who of us is able to do that if we take it literally? They're standards that no one can achieve. I imagine that crowd following Jesus heard that, and maybe some of them were like, I'm out. No, thank you. So how do we reconcile it? How do we understand what Jesus is saying? Because it's a harsh message. And when you heard, let's hate these people, you might think, that doesn't sound like the rest of the gospel. So I believe this passage is both about how we translate and how we interpret the text, and also how Jesus is talking about how seriously we should take our faith. I think it's really important as a pastor and a religious person to take our faith seriously, and I hope you feel the same way. I heard once, and I often repeat, we as Lutherans, we don't take the Bible literally, but we do take it seriously. Because if we were to take everything literally, that's a dangerous game. Just think about this text and the lifting up your cross and carrying it. I recently watched this documentary on Amazon. It was a Shiny Happy People documentary, and it was about this teen mania movement in the 90s and early 2000s. It was started by this man named Ron Luce, and he attracted lots of middle schoolers and high schoolers through these very charismatic, music-driven, dramatic kind of big stadium events where these kids were called to profess their faith, to give their lives over to Jesus to be saved. He was really taking a lot of kids at a really vulnerable age and trying, I assume, to get them to be serious about their faith. But it kind of escalated. At one point, there was this weird internship program where the kids who were maybe in high school or just out of high school would spend a year at this very strict academy and going through lots of tests to prove how faithful they were. And one of those tests reminded me of this passage. It was the kids would get into groups, they'd have a large wooden cross, they would be abandoned in the middle of nowhere in Texas, and they were to use their faith to get back to the academy. And it resulted in a lot of danger for the kids, and I'm not sure about increased faith. But it's kind of an example of how taking things too literally can be dangerous. It can look like a deranged man sending children into the wilderness and not really having a lot of positive effects on their faith, but rather harming them. So how do we unravel this passage? How do we take it seriously, but not literally? Now, before you turn into that crowd giving up and going home disappointed that you didn't live up to Jesus' standards of discipleship, I want you to hear this. Jesus is probably most definitely speaking in hyperbole here. And we know hyperbole is a great mechanism to get people's attention. And it should get our attention. But it also is a way to underline something that's really important. And that is that following Jesus does take commitment. Sometimes it does mean sacrifice. And along with this, the word hate here can also be translated biblically as to love less. And so I think we should consider it not necessarily in the context of like, here's the list of people you're supposed to hate and you can only love Jesus, but thinking more about what different people teach us in our lives versus what Jesus teaches us. I think that we should understand it in this way. Jesus is calling you to put him and his teachings before the teachings of others, before mother and father, siblings and children, to remember to prioritize what Jesus says. So therefore, it's not necessarily about ranking who you love the best or who you should hate, but remembering in all things that Jesus should come first. So let me try to make maybe just a little bit more sense of this. Imagine that your dad has a priority. Your dad's priority in life, the number one thing that is most important to him, is that he works super hard and is good at his job. That's not a bad thing, but that's his definition of a good life. And what if he insists that you should make that your number one priority? Maybe you wanted to be an English major, but he said, no, do math instead. If we look at it, maybe Jesus doesn't quite align with that. Maybe Jesus says this, your life and having a good life is not about possessions or how big your office is, how much money you're able to make. A good life is about loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. So you're in this predicament. You love your dad and you want to do what would make him happy, but you love Jesus as well. What do you put first? If we take this passage seriously, Jesus is asking you to prioritize what he says first, because Jesus believes and we can see that that leads to life abundant. It doesn't mean that you don't honor your father or mother or your children. It just means that Jesus comes first. And taking that seriously sometimes requires a level of discernment. The builder, the king, they've got to decide how they're going to embark on this building project or this war. Similarly, Jesus says, being a disciple is hard. It's not easy, to prioritize loving your neighbor above personal wealth or comfort. That's not a realistic, easy thing to do. It's easy to be swayed by other teachers. Often we might think about other political leaders, you know, different people, but think about how much harder it is when it's somebody you love and care about. Now, as a new mom, I'm learning I can take into consideration things that I learn online and from other people, but first I have to really think about what Jesus would say to me when I'm in those difficult circumstances. I have to remember that no voice can be louder than Jesus's. One day when Marigold was only a few weeks old, a friend came over, and she was the voice of Jesus for me. She told me about a podcast that she had listened to that explained this good enough parenting. And it's this style of parenting that took into account loving your child and meeting their needs, but also remembering that you're important too, that you are a beloved child of God as well. And I needed to hear that. And I think that Jesus would agree and say that nothing is more important than love. Put that first, and everything else will fall into place, even when it's hard, and even when other things are pulling at us. And so we can remember when we encounter difficult passages like that, that Jesus says a lot of things in the gospel. And we remember that lots of that is not about following Jesus to perfection, it's about God's grace. Even if you're a high achiever, you'll never be able to perfectly follow Jesus. And if you try, you'll drive yourself crazy. Being a disciple isn't something that happens because you take everything literally, because you spend one moment giving yourself over to God. It's something that takes practice. It's a journey. And just like parenthood. And in case you'd missed it before, remember that what comes first is love. But this passage does exist. And there may be days when all of us need to be reminded, put Jesus first. And there may be other days when you just need that comfort of remembering that you are already in Jesus' fold. Both are true. Both are essential. But above all, remember that when you do put Jesus first, that love transcends in your life. And that love is God's abundant and steadfast love for forever. Amen.